Hello? Hey, everybody, if you guys could come in, make sure you grab some delicious Valentine's food, drinks, water, coffee, tea. We're going to get started. I'm Justine. Welcome to Moms Connect. Thanks for coming. We're super excited you're here, and we're really excited for our man panel this morning. I just have a few other announcements before our panel comes up. Just a reminder that next week is the service project. We sent two of these around last week. One got totally filled, so we're going to try again. We're going to fill, hopefully, get this one filled out, and just bless this ministry as much as possible. So if you didn't sign up for anything and you have capacity to bring something, if you could sign up, that would be fantastic. I'll start sending this around again. And again, that's next week, so you can bring anything on that list. You can bring it on Sunday, this coming Sunday, or for sure next Thursday, because that's when the service project actually is. Other announcements, sort of same. Back table, help yourself, all free goodies back there. Also, the lending library is back there as well. Not free, but free to borrow. Just write your name down, check out a book, and bring it back in a couple weeks. Let's see. I think that might be it. Do we have prayer cards? Prayer cards are on the table. Please, please write down requests if you have them. The veteran moms love to pray over those. Also, if you have praises, they would love to know that as well. So jot those down. You can hand them to me afterwards. You can just hand them right to a veteran mom. And they count it a privilege to pray for those. So again, welcome to Moms Connect. Feel free, get up, grab stuff. And we're super excited for this morning, so I'm going to pass it off to Liz and Carolyn.
Okay, good morning. We are Liz and Carolyn. We'll introduce ourselves in a minute, but we'd like to welcome the dads up to the dad panel, so give our dads a round of applause. I wish I had some, like, entry music for you, so pretend, like, Jock Jams are playing right now. Okay, so we are going to introduce ourselves first.
Yes.
All right, so this is me. My husband is Steven. He is an accountant, and so we're in the middle of busy season, which is super fun, but we've been married for 5 years, and our daughter, Annalyn, is 21 months yesterday.
All right, and I'm Liz Knabb. My husband is Kyle. We included wedding pictures and current pictures for all of us, and it's really fun to see these guys' pictures, but we've been married for 5 years. I have a daughter. Her name's Alecta. She's about a year and a half, and we have another baby coming in August. So, surprise, I didn't know that. And so here are our dads. Dads, we'd like you to introduce yourself in like 2 minutes. Tell us what you do for a living, who your wife is, how long you've been married, and how many kids. And 2 minutes, you can take that or leave that. Also, my husband works from home. He's a software developer. All right. So.
Drew. Oh, hey. You're great. Look at there. I look skinnier in one of them. So my name is Drew. I've been married to my wife, Christy. Some of you may know her, for like almost 16 years now, which is pretty great. No, it's really great. I won't say pretty great. We have two children. This is Caroline. She is 17 years old in her mind. And that's Quincy, who's firmly 8. For work, I own a little creative company that does weird stuff.
Okay. Perfect.
Hey,
Bob. Hey, I'm Bob Carter. That's my wife, Debbie. We've been married 40 years. Woo! We have three children and four grandchildren, and they're all married there, as you can see. And what else? Oh, I'm one of the pastors here at Perimeter. I've been here for on staff for 33 years, and I oversee one of our areas of pastor as one of our parish pastors, but I'm also over the elders, the recruitment, training, equipping of our officers of our church.
Hey, my name is Ben Ambule, and this is my wife, Christy. She's on staff here at Perimeter. We've been married 14 and a half years today, so we celebrate our half anniversary, not Valentine's Day. So just thought I'd get that in there. But, yeah, we have a daughter. We had a girl first. She is a seventh grader. Then we have three sons underneath, a fifth grade son, a second grade son, and then our youngest is in pre-first, and they're all here at Perimeter School this year, which is a huge blessing for my wife. So she gets to do one drop-off, which is nice. So.
Yeah. And Ben, what do you do now, and what were you doing when your kids were little?
Yes. Yeah, I've been in the business world for a while, but now currently I direct a family camp for Pine Cove Camp, based out of Texas. We have a camp off Lake Hartwell. Which is awesome. So summers are very busy for us, but the rest of the year is pretty nicely paced. And then we also own escape rooms. So if, yes, if you want to go, let me know. I'll hook you up.
Yes, you will.
Hey.
Now everyone wants to do escape rooms.
Escape room buzz here. I got to follow that. So my name's Evan. And I've been married to Morgan there. In May, we'll hit 10 years. So that's a milestone. We have two kids. That is Kepler, who's almost three, and Kirkley, who is 4 months. She's right there in the audience. For work, I do marketing. I work for a company that sells really fancy walkie-talkies, basically, to police officers or utilities and everyone who has to talk when everything starts breaking down. That's who we sell to. So I've been working for them for 6 years now.
Do you have your questions, or are they on the thing?
Oh, they're on the screen. Okay, so guys, we're really excited that you're here today, and we're going to start by playing the newlywed game. So hopefully, unbeknownst to these guys, I have emailed their wives and asked them questions about their wives. So gentlemen, you're answering these questions about your wife, so it might be helpful to think about how your wife would answer. And some of these answers are very funny. A lot of like, well, he'll say this, but this is my answer kind of thing. So, and there's a prize for the winner. So, where was your first date?
Just going down the line.
Yeah, just go down the line.
Well, we'll disagree about this. Our first date was at the spaghetti store in Athens, Georgia. And, 1975, and my wife will say our first date was a Kenny Rankin concert. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'll show you the answers once
Okay. So I will officially go on the record as saying we never had a first date.
Okay.
Okay, so we were best friends and then we got married is the official party line. This is how that worked.
Our first date was also in Athens, Georgia. We went to a indoor blacklight mini golf course, and then we went to the fine dining experience at Chili's.
Yes.
Christy and I went to Steak and Shake for ice cream.
All right. So I'm going to say that everybody got this right except for Drew.
Yeah.
Christy, yeah. I guess, counts as your senior prom as your first date, which is adorable.
Yeah, it's not true at all.
Okay, I'm just going to talk really loudly, and
we'll hear.
Oh, okay. Gotta be recorded. Okay.
You're recording this?
Yes, no pressure. Okay.
So we can share it with us?
Yeah. Okay, what was your first dance song at your wedding? And Evan, you can start since you're there.
Everything by Michael Bublé.
Got it.
I'm going to go At Last by Etta James.
Okay.
Because we dated for like 8 billion years. So
okay.
It was kind of like a.
It was time.
Oh, wait, we didn't date.
Yes.
Yeah. The party line, Drew.
They have music back then?
No, they didn't. We got married at First Baptist Church Atlanta downtown, and no dancing.
Yeah.
So we didn't dance. We didn't have a first song.
Debbie actually said that in the prehistoric age, they didn't allow dancing in the church. Those were her words. Okay. Just do your best, Ben.
I honestly have no idea.
You know, what's hilarious is Christy doesn't remember either.
That's awesome.
So
maybe we didn't have a first dance.
Right.
That's awesome.
I will
awesome.
Count that as right.
I like how my wife thinks that way.
She thinks it was.
She thinks it.
Yeah, all the answers just made me giggle. Okay, name a country your wife would love to visit.
I think Africa's a continent, but...
It is.
I'm pretty sure that's what she would have said, but...
Can you think of an African country?
Oh, goodness. We'll go with Tanzania.
Okay.
Is that in Africa?
Yes, it is.
Firmly.
Yeah, I'm, just one?
Yeah, just one.
I'm going to say Greece at the top of her list, maybe.
Okay.
So we... Like, traveling is, like, our thing. Like, we do that a lot. And so we have this map in our hallway with, like, pins in it of all the places we
yeah.
want to go. And there's, like, 50 of them. So it's impossible for me to know what's next in the list. So I think it's going to be a toss-up between somewhere like Tahiti, because that's where, like, that's her beach top right now.
Okay.
But then also she's been talking about Paris.
Okay.
So it's one of those two, but I don't.
All right. And Bob?
I'm going to probably be like Drew, but I will try Iceland.
Okay. Okay. So, Debbie, Iceland is at the top. Christy said Australia. Tanzania, way to go, Ben. And Bora Bora, Greece. So, I'm going to count everybody except Drew.
Yeah.
All right. What's your wife's typical Starbucks order? You can go.
Yeah. Grande English breakfast, one tea bag in, one tea bag out.
Yeah.
Wow. I got it down.
He knows.
My wife is basically anything there that doesn't taste like coffee.
Okay. Yeah, so I asked this question, and like half of your wives don't drink coffee.
Hold
so.
On. Oh, by the way, a piece of lemon pound cake. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, whatever it is, it has like 9 pounds of flavoring
okay.
in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's been to Starbucks in 8 years, but she doesn't like coffee, so I would say hot apple cider, maybe.
Okay.
The last thing I could remember buying her, which was years ago, was a white mocha, I think.
Okay. So Bob was like hit it out of the park. He got it right. I'm going to count Drew's because Christy basically said, I want something that is only cream and sugar and a little bit of coffee. Christy's, I don't know what that is. And she said that you wouldn't know either. And Morgan wants a hot chocolate. So here's another one. If your wife had 3 hours completely to herself, what would she do? This is a hard one.
This is going to come across as offensive, but she'd probably clean.
I think I would go with, like, draw or paint.
Okay.
It's possible that the first hour might consist mostly of sitting, like, in a dark closet and, like, mildly crying. just to, like, get that out of her system in the first...
You just need a good cry.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to. But maybe, like, she'd veg out and watch some TV shows or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
And Bob?
There's a number of things. My wife's a great reader, so I'm going to say reading.
Okay, Bob is the only one that got this right. So Debbie would read, Christy would sleep, Christy Ambule would work out and massage, and then Morgan was very specific, which I appreciate. She would binge watch Netflix, eating cereal while editing photos. So, Evan, how did you miss that? Okay, when your wife was a child, what did she want to be when she grew up?
Ha ha ha.
I don't know. I'm gonna say a medical doctor.
Okay.
This is a tough one. Her whole family was teachers, and so I know she routinely talked about one day being a teacher.
Okay.
So we'll just go with teacher.
Sounds good.
So I think it depends on the age. I know at one point she wanted to be Cinderella at Disney World, but I'm going to go with – yeah, that's right, she is. I'm going to just say teacher.
Okay.
I'm going to go with doctor.
Okay. So Christy or Drew, you're right. And then I think that's it. Oh, you did? I'm sorry. I kind of spaced out. Sorry. Okay. So what's our score, Carolyn?
Bob was winning by a win.
Okay. So we're not going to do the bonus questions because Bob's winning. Or should we do the bonus questions? We'll do them quick for our own benefit. Okay. How does your wife order a steak fast?
Medium.
Medium.
Medium to medium rare, depending on the venue.
Okay. Good.
Kills me. Medium well.
Debbie said well done, and that killed me too.
She said well done.
And I said Debbie. Ooh, girl. Okay. What was your wife's nickname growing up, and bonus points, did she like it?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
That's okay.
I didn't know she had a nickname.
If she has one, I am unaware of it.
Mo. And she liked it.
Yep.
She didn't like it, whatever it was.
Pooh Bear or CB for Christy. Debbie Lucy was both. And Christy said her nickname was Christy. So, what do you think? Oh, and last one. What's your wife's favorite trip that you have taken together?
Southeast Asia.
She might say Italy.
She did. I'm just going to tell you.
Good.
Oh, boy.
And you guys have traveled a lot, so this is hard.
I know. Ireland.
Okay. And Ben?
Oh, she didn't respond as positively to that.
Oh, you got it right, Bob. Okay, I forget what she said. London. Yeah. 5 weeks in Southeast Asia sounds really nice. Okay, well, thank you, guys. Bob, here is your Brix gift card.
Oh,
you can
thank you.
Can get Debbie some tea with one tea bag in and one tea bag out. And, gentlemen, I have cookies for you for participating. So we're all winners here. Just remind me to give them to you. Okay, so now we're going to move into the serious, more serious stuff.
Yeah, we just wanted to start with kind of saying our heart for this morning. We talked about it as a committee, and we were like, yeah, that'd be so fun to get some dads up here. And then as Liz and I got started, we were like, what are we going to do with these dads? And how are we going to do it so that it's not like, oh my gosh, he's so great. Why is my husband not like that? Like then, so we wanted to kind of start with that and say our goal for this morning is just to hear from these guys' perspectives. They've got a lot of years of wisdom. Evan's in it with us. Like all of it just kind of has a good variety. We hope that you will learn some nuggets to take home to your husbands as ideas of, hey, this family does this, and it sounded really neat. Do you want to try it in our family? Would you think that would work? Because we recognize that all of our families are different, and what works for one family doesn't necessarily work for another. And that's okay. We can all be believers and friends and support one another in our differences with our common faith. We hope that you will see that you're not alone, that other dads and husbands and families have some same struggles that you do, that we do, and also to be inspired some about what they can look like, because these guys didn't look like this when they were newlyweds either. They've been through a lot of life. They've experienced, they've learned, they've grown, and so we're hoping to learn some wisdom from them, from their struggles and failures and successes. And then the last thing is that we want you to kind of be thinking in light of that, okay, what is something, it is Valentine's Day, what is something I can affirm my husband about and take home to him and say, hey, I love you, I'm so glad you're my husband. So we're going to do the whole panel with all of our questions here in the middle and leave our connecting and talking time for the end, where we have a whole table of crafts and Valentine making supplies for you. We printed off a ton of funny ones that are, we go together like peanut butter and jelly, and like Downton Abbey and like all just silly and cute and fun and serious, like the whole gamut. You can just take a piece of paper and write your own if you want. But so be thinking about something that you hear, maybe you could affirm him for the end. So praying that this will be uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring, and not encouraging the comparison game or stirring up jealousy. So on light of that, we're going to get started.
Okay, so we're going to get started just with some intro questions. So tell us about, tell us a story of one of your funniest moments as a dad or one of your dad fails either as a father or as a husband. And I think the reason we chose this is we started out Moms Connect by having some moms share just some funny moments, and we thought it'd be nice to hear from you.
Okay. How much time do you have? So one that sticks out was my daughter of 16 years old when she was 16. She was, at that time, she was going to school and working at the Gap. And one morning she comes downstairs and is crying. This is before school. And says, "I don't have a thing to wear." And she's just crying. And I looked at her and I said, "You got to be kidding me. You work at the Gap." And so the thing was, is that everything okay?
my daughter just pooped on.
It's not a metaphor. It's not a metaphor. But anyway, the point being was that just here it was that my daughter needed for me to, "Hey, it's okay. I love you. You look great," or whatever. And I was trying to come at it with logic, just saying, "You got to be kidding me. Have you been to your closet? You know how many clothes you got in your closet?" And that was an epic fail on my part. Anyway.
We have a pond that's right next to our driveway. And every spring, a snake lives there. My wife hates the snake. So she said, "I'm not going near there until you kill the snake." So I go to kill the snake. Now, I don't like snakes either, so I get one of these tree pruners that's basically like a saw on a stick, you know? And I'm like, I'm going to reach out and like whack the snake, right? So I commence snake murdering. And unbeknownst to me, my children are standing behind me pleading with me not to kill the snake, because it's one of God's creations and it deserves to live too. And I'm trying to like be tough and murder this snake. And they're like, "Don't do it, Dad." And my wife is like, "I hate the snake." So I'm torn in this moment between traumatizing my children and traumatizing my wife. And yeah, so I nail the snake in the head. And it slithers up into the grass, and I go around to try to catch it, and my kids are weeping. And finally, I have to, like, anyway, it was terrible, and the snake lived. It lived, and it now it's just mean. And my wife thinks I failed, and my kids also think I failed. So I've maimed a snake, which is neither success. Neither. That was it.
The one that sticks out to me, so our son Kepler, when he was 2 or 3 months old, I guess, he was still feeding in the middle of the night. And so my wife woke up and nursed him. And then I guess afterwards, you know, he spit up, but it wasn't like a normal spit up. It was like projectile and a lot of it, to where she was like worried about him and had a big mess to clean up and was worried about, you know, is he sick or what's going on? So she like, "I don't know any of this is going on." In the morning, she tells me, she's like, "So I spent all this time cleaning." She called, there's a it's called Plunkett, where we were living at the time, that was kind of like a 24/7 on-call nurse or whatever. She called them and was asking if what do we do? So she's telling me this whole big story. In the morning, I'm like, "Well, why didn't you wake me up and ask for help?" And she's like, "I did." And you just kind of sat up and grunted in some foreign tongue and then rolled over and went back to sleep. And I was like, "Ah, father of the year." So
How many of y'all like to drive with your little ones, long road trips, things like that? Yeah, I don't either. So my wife and I were on a road trip. She decided she would drive to help me out, which I thought would be great so I could get some work done. But it became the passy police. And I think with both of our kids, I was just leaning back and they kept crying. And I mean, I got so frustrated at one point, I just slammed my computer down, threw it up on the dashboard, just wanting to show my wife my frustration. And so did whatever I was doing, and I came back and looked, and I had cracked the entire windshield of the car. And so Christy never said a word about it, didn't say a thing, thankfully, an example of her grace to me. But about a week later, I got in the car and noticed there was a new windshield on the car. She also didn't tell me that she replaced it, and she sent me the bill, which was great. I deserved it, so.
Last fall, Jeff came and did a talk. Jeff Norris came and said his talk was what dads want moms to know. And one of his points was dads really are as clueless as moms think they are. And we're like, how can he not see this? I see it every day. The trash is full. Why is he not taking out the trash? He was like, we really are that clueless. You really do need to tell us. So he was saying, moms and dads really do things differently, and my mother-in-law calls it boy eyes versus girl eyes. She had one girl and five boys, and so when all of the girlfriends and wives started coming, she was like, I'm so glad there's more girl eyes in this house. So because we see things differently, we moms who see things more need to communicate, and it might feel like over-communicating to us about all the little things that we may need help with or that we want you to do. So can you think of an example or story of something that you've been really clueless about? How did your wife help you see it? So the example in my house was that we would leave we were just leaving the toys out, and then we'd go do bedtime, and I would finish bedtime and nursing and all that, and I'd come down, and then Stephen's in the chair on the other side of the toys, and they're still on the floor. I was like, and then I'd pick up the toys. And I'm like, okay, you've got to clean up the toys. Like, if you come downstairs first, please just clean up the toys so that I don't have to do it. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm like, okay, thank you. So that's my example. Y'all have any?
Yeah, Chrissy and I talked about this one. I didn't have a great example. I think the posture in which she asked me is always important, of just saying, hey, is there any way that you could, versus highlighting how inept I am at seeing some of those things. And then I think from the emotional side is where I went, of just, like, there's a lot of times where she just needs to pursue me emotionally because I usually don't have a thought about stuff. So she might misinterpret my silence for having an opinion on something when in all reality I'm thinking about basketball or something else. It really is true. A lot of times the things she's thinking about just aren't even on my radar. So not condemning me for that, but actually going, hey, could you think about this? Or, you know, because then I'm like, oh, yeah, I can think about that for you. That's no problem. But I think just assuming that we really aren't calculated in our ineptness, it's just we just don't think like y'all think.
Yeah, I could probably tell a thousand stories of things I either don't notice that Morgan does or even things that I notice. I'm like, it's not a big deal. So if something is a big deal to you, then please communicate that to us. And the thing that I guess more recently has come up a lot is she'll try to ask me to do something in this polite way that to me it's just not direct. So she'll be like, you know, we should really do this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we should do that. And in my mind, I'm like, I've affirmed her. She can go do that. And in her mind, it's you should go do this, Evan. So I've started to figure that out. And when she'll say things like that, I'm like, so when you say we, do you mean me or do you, you know? And I think recognizing it's okay to ask direct, like, could you do this?
Yeah, for me, it's not. I'm going to rephrase what Jeff said. I would say that it's probably a misnomer that we're clueless, okay? It's that we're differently clued. And so there are things that are not high on our priority list, not because we disagree with you, but because we don't necessarily understand why it's on your priority list. So when I used to not keep the house, like, I basically have one area of the house where I'm permitted to keep mess, right? And that's fine. Like, I asked for that. I was like, hey, I know you like things really tidy. Can I have this space and just you never, just never ask me about this part of the room or whatever? So, but it, what I didn't understand was that for my wife, things being tidied up were also an emotional state for her, that she wasn't able to rest while looking at dishes. And like, I can't sit down at the end of the day while seeing a dish in the sink. Right. So for me, I was like, it's just a dish in the sink, because it wasn't that I didn't want my wife to have emotional rest. Right. It's like, it's not that I'm intentionally, like everyone was saying, like, I'm not like I'm sabotaging your ability to have peace in the house. Right. It's that I didn't ever equate the dish in the sink with her being able to rest. And so for me, it wasn't so much like a, why can't you do that? It was like a, did you know that this was connected to this, right? And as soon as I was made aware of that, I was like, oh, no, I didn't know that. And for me, having a dish in the sink has nothing to do with being able to rest at the end of the day, right? It's completely separated. And so for me, it was really a matter of like understanding the why behind something that seems trivial. And then I was able to kind of step in, and while I not do it perfectly, to better support the why, to say, hey, I know that this helps you rest. Is it better if you don't look at it, or does it really need to be cleaned? Like, if you know it's there and you're not see- like, I was able to kind of unpack what the ask meant a little bit, and then better help to like prioritize that, because of course I want to prioritize my wife's emotional state and well-being, and when she's comfortable, I'm comfortable. Like, all those things, you know, I want to promote. It's just a matter of connecting that to the task. So like, I usually ask why, and I don't ask it in like a, why do you want me to do that, but like a, help me understand the reasoning behind why you're asking this so that I can get on board with your clues, if that makes sense. So maybe I would say for you, like, don't assume your husband knows why you're asking something. And in a non, like, in a non kind of like talk down way, say, hey, I know this sounds like I'm an insane person, but like, I cannot calm down until there are no dishes in the sink. So like, if you walk by and see one, like, it would emotionally help me rest for you to put the dish in the dishwasher. Yeah. I'd be like, huh.
Oh. That's super helpful. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know how much of it's for us is men and women versus personalities, but Debbie and I, she would say, I think it was, we had been married for probably 20 years, that I finally realized that I can walk through the house, see things that maybe need to be fixed, or maintenance on them, and Bob would not see them. So in some ways, for me, I was clueless about this. You know, our what's on my radar and what's on her radar are completely different. And part of that is our personality. We have different personalities. I think the thing that was freeing to her was she learned not to take it personal. It was, the thing was that she would probably say, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, that early on she took it personal, somehow was doing this personally against her. And she realized, oh, Bob and I are just very different. So what, the way he is and the way we're wired is different. So not taking it personal against her was huge.
Thank you, guys. So this next question. Oh, yeah. So you don't all have to answer. And but we appreciate your answers on that. I'm just saying. But we're going to move into questions about work, and some of these questions might not apply to you. So just, I might even direct them towards certain people. So don't feel excluded. So this is more for Evan and maybe Drew. So my husband works from home, and it is a gift. We have a lot of time together, and I'm really thankful that he has the ability to do that. But it is hard to set boundaries, especially when you have mobile children who know, where Dada is all the time. So how do you set boundaries when you're working from home?
I set them and then they get trampled on. no, it's hard, and it's, something I kind of realized early on. So I've worked from home for a year and a half, almost 2 years now. And at first it was this big, like, you just have to pretend I'm not even here. And I think there was a little bit of pride in, like, what I'm doing is really important and can't be interrupted. But I've also realized since then that, A, what I'm doing, I mean, it is important, but it's not that important. And two, like, I mean, working in the office is on it. So I worked in an office for 5 years and then working for the same company from home now for almost two. Like, I can compare pretty apples to apples, like, distraction levels. And it's, I would still say it was more distracting in the office, because I would, like, there were days where I wouldn't even get to my desk until lunchtime, because I'd go from a meeting to, you know, having a water cooler chat to, you know, the video guy I work with wants to talk about the latest movie. And, you know, like, there's all these things that happen. And so regardless of where you work, you have to kind of set some of those boundaries for yourself. And but what is really helpful that my wife does, there are two things. One, I try to communicate with her when I have meetings, because, you know, I think pretty much the whole world saw that CNN interview where the guys, you know, and the two girl kids come in. Like, that's definitely happened, but, you know, not too often. Unfortunately, my boss is pretty understanding. But, you know, having those meetings where it can be distraction-free for me, and having her know that, so she's dealing with things. And then the other thing that she does that's really great for, and it's great for me, it's great for her and for the kids too, is just getting them out of the house. So whether that's going to a friend's house or to the park or to Home Depot and Target yesterday, like, it gives me, having like 3 hours with absolute quiet, like, it's kind of absurd how much I can get done. So that is probably the most helpful boundary thing she does. So, anyone else?
Beth, work from home.
No question.
Oh, I mean,
what? Well, here's what I would say. We're in a new era of work, as guys are, by the way. It used to be, like, you can ask your fathers and your grandfathers this, but, like, when you came home at 5 o'clock, like, you couldn't keep working, if that, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't have a cell phone that followed you home. And if you did have a cell phone, it only received calls. Like, it didn't continually demand your attention. So I liken it to, like, dads are finally experiencing what moms experience. Like, you would say your job is 24/7. And guess what? Now ours is too. Especially if you're like me, you own your own business, or if you work in a time-demanding field, like, there's no such thing as being off at 5 o'clock, right? You guys aren't off, you ladies aren't off at 5 o'clock being a mother, right? And so that question has always been, well, I work all the time. When you get home, you know, it's your turn or whatever. I think we have to acknowledge the fact that we're in an era now where our jobs don't stop. So my wife has taken to, this is great, she's taken to, when I get home, she looks at me, she goes, are you home? Like, because she knows that I could have gotten a call on the way home that ignited a new fire. And what's the difference between me walking in the house and working than me staying at the office till 8 p.m.? Like, in some ways they're the same these days, but we haven't ever discussed that, right? And so I think we just need to acknowledge that, and certain things about that are good and certain things about that are terrible, right? But it's kind of a new era. So I would say just, like, have an open conversation, and not, please don't have the conversation that's like guilt. Like, hey, you need to play catch with your son or he's going to hate you for life. Like, that kind of question. Because I think that's another myth that's like a burden on guys. But all that to say is, like, don't discount the fact that our jobs now follow us home. And so working from home, it's every night to a lot of people.
Thank you, guys. So we, in addition to the panel here, we have some videos set up. If my computer decides to cooperate, it's working up there.
Yeah.
So we have Jeff Hopek. He's an entrepreneur, and he's answering this question. I don't actually know where my clicker. Ah,
got it.
I also don't know how loud this is going to be. So.
Hi, my name is Jeff Hopek. Question one, how do I set boundaries working at home? First off, I'll say it's very challenging, and anybody I talk to that either is starting out or considering having a business and working out at home, never sugarcoat this one, because it's really not easy, especially when you have these kids and your wife, you know, at the house most of the time, and you want to spend time with them. So it's tricky. So first off is a physical boundary, obviously, is to have a confined office space, which is where I'm at right now, you know, doors that can enclose and give you that physical barrier. But I think there's something more important, in my opinion, and I read this, I forget where, but is to over-explain what it is that you're doing, right? So you're not sectioning yourself off because you want to be away from your family or away from your kids. And that's, I think, a very important message to get across to them. So what I try to drive home is to really, truly, like, explain it in as simplest terms as possible, what I'm doing. So I think that's very important. Why am I sectioning myself off? Why am I on the phone? Why am I on the computer? It's we all, I think, as adults, just take it for granted that we all know what work means. But kids don't know what work means. They don't understand why we have to work. So I drive that home to right now my son, who's 2.5, but I will for our next children. Why do I do what I'm doing? So, and then one other thing is, like, when I do conference calls and things like that, instead of running the chance of frustration where if I get on the phone and then Jeff does open the door, what I'll do is physically separate myself. I'll literally go for a walk or something like that. So that's how I like to handle separation in the house for working at home.
All right, so for those of you that travel or have done some traveling, what are some things that you can do to invest in relationships with your kids and your wife while you're away?
I travel a ton for work seasonally. Like, we do a lot of live events, so I'm on the road constantly. We try to have some normalcy in the same activities like we might do at home. We try to have some of that. So, like, we're reading through all the Harry Potter books together, because I never read them as a kid, so I, like, held off and saved them, and now I'm reading them with my kids for the first time. So literally, sometimes I'll sit in a hotel room and get on FaceTime and, like, read Harry Potter with my kids. Now, that doesn't always work, and you have to adjust time, so I have to, like, make a date. Like, hey, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to pretend like it's bedtime and we're going to read Harry Potter, because if I'm in a different time zone or whatever. But I think it's just about trying to maintain that connection. But then simultaneously, I'll say this. My wife also knows how important it is that I do good work. So she does a really good job of, like, protecting me when I'm on the road. She doesn't call me constantly. She doesn't have the kids. You're missing this. You know, all these kind of, like, make you feel guilty kind of moments. Like, hey, the thing flooded. Or, like, what? She doesn't ping me with a lot of stuff, because she kind of, so that when we do talk, it's an intentional time. So she's not kind of over flooding me, if that makes sense. So she's intentional about the way she communicates with me the same way. And, like, this is the first generation that's even had this as an option, by the way. So, like, we're in new territory anyway. Like, my dad, when he traveled for work, he didn't talk to me at all for a week. And I don't think my dad was a lousy dad. So here we are with this, like, societal pressure, like, work hard all the time, right? And also be home for your kids and never miss a single T-ball game that, like, by the way, those are meaningless. Like, I hate to break it to you, but, like that T-ball game has nothing to do with his future, right? So, but here we are, like, we're terrible if we miss that, but we're also terrible if we don't do a good job. So we're caught, just understand that we're caught in that, right? And that's, like, this, you have to be perfect at this and perfect at this. The same way that the call on you is, like, oh, be a perfect mom and have everything together. But also, when your husband gets home, be the perfect wife and, like, give him attention. And, like, and you can't pivot between those roles instantly, right? We can't pivot between that role instantly either. So if we're on the road or doing something and we get this, even if we're at the office, it's not even on the road. If we're at the office and we get this call, like, oh, so-and-so's having this problem, like, understand that, like, we might have been in, like, if we call you and you're in the middle of, like, spit up explosion, right? And we're like, hey, let's talk about tonight. You know, like, you'd be like, what? You don't even know what I'm in the middle of. And I think the same is true. Like, the same is true the other way around. So whatever you can do to kind of be intentional and isolate forcing someone to flip between roles without any notice, Like, I think that's helpful. I don't know if that makes sense.
Christy's really good about texting me or sending me a video clip or something. She prioritizes what's important. So if I am gone, when I do get a chance to FaceTime the kids, like, I can say, hey, I saw that you did this, or mommy sent me this. So it's really helpful that she kind of thinks for me of, like, hey, if it's the mundane, not to call it that, but just regular stuff throughout the day, she's not sending me everything, but the little things that help me be a good dad and be engaged with my kids and know what's going on in their world. Just practically, I was in Texas last week. She did FaceTime the whole basketball game of my son so I could watch, because I was their coach and I wasn't there. But that was huge, because when they got done, they came and they saw me on video. And I think it just speaks a lot that's going, hey, there are still things that daddy's going to try and prioritize, even if I'm traveling, that I think speak a lot of volume to that. And then as I get to talk to them, then I can use those one or two things that Christy sent me, or like, hey, I heard you did a good job with this, or I heard you were super respectful. That just helps me when she thinks for me, knowing that my mind is on some other things as I'm traveling.
Yeah, I mean, I think what these guys have said covers it really well. The one idea that is sort of what you were getting at, Drew, but I got a coworker who has a virtual date with her husband every time they travel, and they watch some TV show together when they're at home, and so at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays or whenever it is, they get on Skype together and just watch some reality show and then talk about it. I've never done it, but it seems like a good idea. So.
Yeah, it's cute. And it's fun that our technology allows us to do that. Like, my brother-in-law and his wife were long distance forever, and so they would do that. They would press play at the same time.
Yeah, and maybe controversially, I'll just say, just because it's now available to us doesn't mean that our generation's idea is the best idea that's ever been made up, right?
Yeah.
So, like, people used to work in factories 6 days a week, and we're the first generation that has leisure time available to us. So here we are assuming that if we don't utilize that correctly, we're failing, when for 2,000 plus years of history, that's never actually been an option. So, yeah, exactly. So I'll just say, if you step back and take a little bit of historical perspective, you'll realize that we're at a unique point in time where we do have tools that are great, but those tools also are the same tools that are potentially ruining our lives. So I'm just saying, like, before we panic and say, like, you know, this is the way a dad or a mom should be. Like, the pressure moms are under right now to be perfect is unprecedented in history, right? Because of the way that moms can now see each other working and brag to each other and present a certain, like, that's unprecedented in history. And the pressure is also the same on dad. So I was just like, if we could step back for a second and be like, I know this is the issue we're dealing with right this minute, but like, This is kind of a new thing. Let's figure this out.
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely. That's better for this one.
Yeah. So this is kind of a longer, more convoluted question. So I'm going to try to summarize it. Oh, there's another one.
Yeah. Jeff finished the question. Travel side. Jeff travels also. And it's some of the same things, but.
Oh, okay.
It's short, so.
What do I do when I'm on the road? You know, a couple big things. So number one is taking advantage of technology, right? So try to FaceTime as much as humanly possible. And again, this sort of piggybacks on number one, explaining why I'm away, right? Because my wife knows, my clients know, any other adult knows what work is and why we work. But I'm constantly driving home the fact that when I leave, it's a good thing because I have to support our family and just walk them through all the things that money does. You know, it allows us to have a certain lifestyle, right? So we can afford anything from diapers to food and all the fun things that we do together. I explain and tie it back to work. So daddy has to go to work in order to get a resource, and I explain it, that it's money in order to get money so that I can provide for my family. So just overstating that message and FaceTiming. Then the other little thing, and I'll end on this, is I'll try to bring him something small, and it doesn't have to be attached to money. And frankly, I'm not a huge fan. I'm just not a big gifter for some reason. But just little things like his favorite mints that'll be at a restaurant. So we'll have a client meeting. And if I see those mints that he loves, I'm grabbing a handful and bringing them home for him. And it just lights up his life. And I love that. He loves that. And then you're tying going away to, you know, bring back something nice for him.
Yeah, we tried to film a video with my daughter in the room, and she ended up like almost swallowing a crayon. So I'm totally, totally understanding Jeff's struggle. Okay, so this is a longer question, and I promise I'll get to the point. But when you've traveled or had like a long hours work week, or if your industry like accounting has a busy season, how do you manage and prioritize investing in your relationships at home while also your own to-do list, like your honey-do list, or also just having time for you to decompress? And we have a friend that that calls her husband's time when he gets home from work his nothing box time, and just the time where her husband just needs to like either change his clothes and just like kind of re-enter family life. So how do you balance family downtime and then your to-do list as well? Yes.
Well, my wife and I are empty nesters, so I'm trying to think back about what it was like. But I mean, I think that there were periods where my wife was at home and our kids got a little older that she worked outside the home. So we've gone through different waves of this, I guess. But I think that and there was a sensitivity to this on, and I'm not sure if I'm answering the question. I appreciate the sensitivity my wife had about this. Is at times that what I would do is I would come in and I would go upstairs and I would change my clothes. And that was and I wouldn't stay up there for 2 hours, by the way. I would come back downstairs. But it was a time for, just a short time for me to decompress. Granted, there were times where when our kids were young, you know, I realized there were times that, you know, I walk in, there's a screaming kid, and she's going to, here, take him. And that those things are going to happen. But I think there was a appreciation for both of us on that we needed that. So I do know for me that it was helpful for me just to go upstairs, change my clothes, take a deep breath, not to say that I, like, was dreading it as much as just, okay, I need to let that go now and move back down the stairs. Now, it's quite different. And, I'll say for us, the major issue is that when we're home, I got to put away my phone. It's pretty simple. I got to put away my phone. And she puts away her phone, too. So, but still, you know, we've got word games we like to play on our phone, so sometimes. But put away her phone.
I took a different angle on this one. I think for me, just when I come home and I get Christy's eye contact and she's just happy to see me, like, that's just huge. So just knowing that when Dad comes home, and we know there's all kinds of stuff y'all are dealing with. Like, I'm not oblivious to the fact that she's, you know, got a million things going on. But when she, 'cause I'm excited to see her, like, and so and before my kids, I'm excited to see her. Like, I really am. And so when I'm greeted with this stressful look or no attention paid at all, it's kind of like, okay. But when she's like, hey, how are you? And just something very quick that acknowledges you're my number one priority. I know you walked in the door. It's great seeing you. Then we can get to all the other stuff. Like, that just leaves my heart super full. And so it's just a little tidbit of going, things that I really value when she does, it only makes me want to do more for her. Not saying it's like a, you know, well, you didn't do this, so I'm not doing this. But just the posture of my heart is so much more excited to dive in with her if I know, wow, she still likes me. Like, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? It's just good to be reminded, like, we chose this. Just remember, like, I chose you and all of this. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer this with transitions. I've just, my personality, I can turn on a dime, and so that's never been an issue for me. But you know, for trying to get things done, one thing I do, I just wake up like an hour and a half before everyone else in the house. Fortunately, we have a family of people who like to sleep in, so it's not that hard for me to wake up that early. But That gives me some time to myself in the day to kind of get ready for it and tick off a couple things on my list. And then it's just communicating how we both have things we want to do and accomplish. And we have two forces who are constantly trying to work against us getting things done, but helping each other out to figure out when we can do things and find a way to get it done, or we do it next week.
That's good. I mean, they're right.
Yeah, they're, my husband recorded a video for this, but you don't need to see it. But basically, like, his time has just shifted. Because with working from home, it's like there's no commute. And so it's like that time when you have to, like, decompress in the car or, like, rest up. It's like, oh, your commute is from the office to the kitchen. And then there's a toddler. And, yeah, so
she's
thank you. She's probably at the door. Yeah. So here's our next question. If you regularly get home during or after dinner, what do you do to facilitate some family time and relationship building or bonding before bed without getting everyone totally wired right at bedtime? And we actually have an answer for this. If anybody feels like they want to share their thoughts, you can.
So, I mean, my kids are a little bit older, so I think this is slightly different. We're not in the, like, rambunctious wrestle, put down for bed kind of thing. Mainly my son just wants to, like, watch a YouTube video with me. And my daughter, not that my daughter doesn't want to talk to me, but she doesn't have the same emotional need that a young girl has. So usually I'll kind of poke in and talk to her about her day. But it's just not, I know it's not the same demands. When they were younger, we would try to just, like, read and do things like that. I was never a big, like, get on the floor, wrestle kind of dad. I just was never my game. But I tried to basically take an interest in what they were taking an interest in. But also we found that, like, you have to prescribe, like, a time for it. Because that's when it gets out of control. You know what I mean? I would say, yes, like, my son really likes watching, like, Strong Bad. You remember Homestar Runner? Anybody? He really loves watching Strong Bad videos on YouTube. And so I'll say, okay, we're going to watch two, because they're, like, 3 minutes. So we're going to watch two. And so he knows when he gets to the end of the second one, like, this is the time defined for this. And it doesn't leave him arguing or, like, we just, like, we predefined. This is the number that we're going to do. And that way there's no, like, weird expectations or arguments or something like that.
So Justine and her husband actually shared their answer to this question. Come on. So this is Justine's husband, Aaron, reading. I have routine 8-to-5 job, but my commute is from Midtown. Usually I'm home from 6 and 8:30, depending on traffic. When I get home, the kids are either eating dinner or about to eat dinner. If I miss dinner, it's tough to make sure that we have some quality relationship building time right away, since I then need to change out of work clothes, spend time with Justine, and eat my dinner. This is where it's a blessing to be in a smaller town home where we are all together nearly all of the time. And it's nice that our kids go to bed at a later time, around 8. But to speak about more intentional things, I try to ask them about their day, play with them, help them clean up their rooms, etc. I certainly play hard with them and tackle, wrestle, and dance no matter if it's bedtime. Since I haven't seen the kids all day, it's more important to play with my kids than to make sure that they get to bed at the exact same time every night. Once that time is done, they understand that, and then I spend time rocking them or reading them prior to bed. So this goes along with what you were saying, Drew, like having a, like knowing the expectations, and the kids will rise to that. And I just thought that was really nice.
Let me see what there were several videos. Let me see.
There's more.
I can post Stephen's online.
Yeah, we can.
We'll post.
Let's do the daddy daughter days one. So okay. My dad, this is my dad, and I had him answer some because we had some sweet bonding memories, and we'll post some of them online, but I like this one. This is an example of something that you would do at another time. And someone else had mentioned that they travel or they work late, and so family breakfast is their big thing on Saturdays. Like, that's their big daddy's home. This is our big family time. And so this was another option. This was what my dad did with us. He traveled some, but yeah.
our favorite memories. This started when they were about two. Sometimes I would call and ask them out on a date. Sometimes I would pick them up at the front door as if they were going out on a, quote, real date. We would go out, we'd do something fun together, and it modeled for my girls how they should be treated as a young lady.
Thanks. And it also just built our relationship with him. And sometimes, like, when we were going, when he would drive us to high school, like, we would have a breakfast one morning, and, like, that would be our date. So that was a sweet time to bond with him that was a separate addition. So when I asked him, I was like, will you answer some of these questions? He goes, can I talk about daddy-daughter dates? Yes, I'll find a way to make it fit. So, because it was a really sweet part of our time. So our next question is, how do you communicate about scheduling and work together to set expectations for how you're going to spend your time and what your weeks look like?
Debbie and I try to have a regular time to get together. We have to have that. Our schedules are pretty busy. I'm, as I mentioned, I'm an empty nester, and I feel busier in my life now than I've ever been. Probably because, you know, it's just a different type of busy. So she mentioned this to me last night. She said, let's get together Saturday morning, so we sit down. So we have to have a scheduled time to do that. If we don't, there's these times where you go, you didn't tell me that was happening. Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. Yeah, and then so anyway, we have to do that.
Yeah, we have a calendar in our kitchen. It's a monthly calendar where we write things that are going on. So that's helpful. And then the other thing, this is kind of a new piece of technology that is kind of, I asked for it for Christmas thinking, oh, that'd be kind of cool, but I don't really need it. Now we have it and I really like it. But it's the Echo Show, like from Amazon. It's like this little TV screen that sits in our kitchen. And I've synced it to my calendar. So any time of the day, she can actually see what I'm doing. And it's good for me too, because, you know, I'll be eating lunch and realize I'm 10 minutes late to a meeting that I'm supposed to be on. But ultimately, the calendar is one thing. It's still about communicating and then having grace for each other when you forget to communicate something, or in my case, you forget that you have something to begin with. Was that the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
The next question is, how do you prioritize your marriage, and how does it look in different stages of parenting?
And I think with this one, it might be helpful to have Evan and answer, and then somebody with older children, and then maybe Bob, since you have been through all the stages, Bob. You don't have to go first. No pressure.
Make sure it's right.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I mean, I think you have these two little kids, and a lot of you guys have little kids right now, and you know, like, how demanding it can be and distracting and on top of all the regular life responsibilities. And so for my marriage and even with our kids too, something that I find I really try to do every day is have, like, at least 5 minutes of focused time with each person in my family. I know 5 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but when it's actual focused time, like, I feel like 5 minutes of focused time is worth more than like 30 minutes of kind of just sitting near each other or doing, you know. And so with Morgan, yeah, I try and connect with her. And then I think what I've really tried to do, once we kind of got out of the state, so our daughter's 4 months old now, so we're kind of coming out of that zombie stage. Once we kind of got through that, to just be going back to some of the old little habits, that some of them I hadn't done for a while. And it just helps. It's these little things like getting her water before bed that I think are just good for your relationship and remind you that you love each other. And it's very easy not to do those things when there's so many things going on. But at the end of the day, those little things that take 30 seconds, kind of like what you were saying, like when you get home, your wife just looking at, hey, hello. Like it's those 10-second to 1 minute things, I think sometimes help build a relationship deeper. So looking for the ways you can do that for your husband and communicating to him what are the ways in which he can make you feel special, right? So like the water thing, that was something Morgan the month or two ago, was, you used to bring me water every night. You haven't done that in a while. I was like, oh, yeah. So it's just help him know what are the things that make you feel appreciated, and even if they're small.
We have made a very conscious effort to make sure that not only that we, my husband and wife, that we know that our relationship is a priority to us, but we've also tried to make it very, very clear to our children that that's the priority. So when our kids are like, who do you love the most? I'm like, Mom, well, you don't love me the most? Sure don't. Like, and not in a mean way, but it's playful when we do it, right? But guess what? The kids are not the center of our universe. They're not. And I think when they are, then you're two people with a co-job as opposed to two people in a relationship. Like Carol Pope always says, like, the kids joined your relationship. Like, you didn't join theirs. So, like, guess what? They're not first. And so we try to make that very clear in our house that, like, the reason you have a good set of parents is because we love each other, like, because we're number one to each other. And so so that means if you actually hold those priorities, that means when it comes to make decisions, you make decisions according to those priorities, right? That means that we don't sacrifice everything for our children. I know that sounds like, what? But, like, we don't. We don't put down everything for everything our kids need. We put down everything for our spouse needs, like, right? So if it's God, spouse, you know, children, whatever. Also, we try to prioritize time with no kids. And that's really hard. But we try to do, once a year, we try to do a week with no kids. About 6 months-ish later, we'd like to do like a long weekend with no kids. And we have to plan that. Like, we've already planned 2020. Like, we have to plan that far out because work and things and whatever. And you have to be like, which grandparent is going to take, you know, like, and some, for some people who live away from potential childcare, like, that's tough. But we've talked to some couples in our neighborhood that their daughter is 15 and they have not spent one night away from their kids in their entire existence. And how can you decouple from being a mom? It takes my wife 3 to 4 days to just, like, un-mom everything, right? She's like, oh, I'm still, and 3 days into it, she's like, oh, hi, you're my husband. Like, well, and it takes me 3 to 4 days to, like, unwork, like, so we take trips where, like, our phones don't work. And I know that's scary, like, you're not going to talk to your kid for a week. Like, they're going to be alive, I promise. Like, it's going to be fine. I used to walk home from middle school every day, and I didn't have a cell phone, and I did not get abducted or murdered. So, like, statistically, we're living in the safest time ever in human history. So, like, it's okay, right? Don't talk to your kid for a week. And you'll be surprised at how healthy it is actually for both of you. So we have to make that a priority, like, a year out, though. So intentional extended time, enough that you can get out of your role.
Carol Ann's dad. One of the best things that Wendy and I did for our marriage and for our girls, particularly when they were young, was participate in a babysitting co-op. In a nutshell, it's 3 free nights of babysitting every single month. It helped sustain our marriage because it meant that we had a date night that we knew was happening on a regular basis, and it built lifelong friendships for us and for our girls with other members of the co-op. If you're interested in knowing more about it, talk to Carol Ann. She can tell you all about it.
Yeah, I would say I am in Carol Ann's babysitting co-op, and she's like a guru. So talk to her because it is really very nice to have that child care.
It was sweet growing up in that, and it's really sweet now doing one, and it was fun. Emily is in her son's Sunday school teachers are another family that was in the co-op with us, and I, like, mentioned it to her one day when we picked him up, and they just spontaneously, like, it was the best thing we could have done for our marriage. And I was like, oh, I'm glad you think so. I thought so too. But anyway, it's possible, and we want to inspire more people to do it because people are like, oh, that's so fun, let's join you. I'm like, we can't have everybody in one, but, like, we want to kind of inspire that idea. So definitely we'll talk to you about
it.
Yeah.
Just to further emphasize what Drew is saying, there is, if you have not gone on a trip without your kids, there is a level of sleep that you will have completely have forgotten. And it's amazing. Like, I remember when we did our first one, I think our son was a year, year and a half or something. And it was like, you mean I can sleep and not have to listen at the same time? It's like the depth of sleep is just, it's sort of surreal. So.
Okay, so we want to give time for Valentine's Day cards and honor your time as well. So this is our last question, and it okay, I'm just going to read it. So Dr. Emerson Eggerichs and many others have talked about a husband's need to feel respected and a wife's need to feel loved. And I think it can be difficult as women and as wives to understand exactly what that means. And how important respect is to our husbands just because we are not men. So can you articulate what it means to be respected by your wife and how you feel when you are respected?
I think that, I think of the word encouragement. I had a conversation with a woman recently, and, she said one of the great things she learned was that she's her husband's lover, not his mother. Okay? And so where I think we may feel disrespected, and by the way, a lot of this is our own ego that gets caught up in this, so let me just say that, is that we are, if we sense that we're being parented or mothered, that's where we kind of do this child reactionary thing type thing. And I'm not saying that's always healthy, but so I think that my wife has a right, every right to be able to share with me, hey, this bothers me, I'm frustrated about this, but to do it in such a way to just communicate it. And I always think the beauty of I statements, saying I think this, I feel this, whatever, instead of you did this, you should do this, you ought to do this, which sounds very parental. And so the thing is just to be able to communicate that in such a way, I think guys will feel that sense of respect. I obviously think I need to respect her as well in the way I communicate with her and honor her in a respectful way. But just, that encouragement of really just, you can share, I think, but a guy who feels like, you know, I had a guy share this with me once and I think part of this is something we have to work through. He says, I go to work, it's not enough. I go to church, it's not enough. I go home, it's not enough. And so I think that just being able to say, how can I encourage, how can I be a source of encouragement, I think is really important.
I agree. That's good. For me, I'll just say, like, there aren't any good TV dads. Like Homer Simpson, like every dad is dumb, right? Yeah. Right. So, yeah, even in commercials, like the dad is clueless and mom saves the day, and what that does is that sets up a culture where, like, guess what? We're dumb. We're clueless. We don't, right? And I think what happens, like, when I feel most disrespected, is when my wife assumes I don't have a plan. Like, she's got a plan, and guess what? It's different than mine. And hers works great and mine works great. But when she says, hey, I know you haven't been thinking about this, but here's the, then I'm like, how do you know I haven't been? Like, you assume I'm dumb. Like you, and she's not saying I'm dumb, but that's what comes out, right? And so when she starts going, it's a simple little turn of phrase. Hey, I know you've probably already thought about this, but like, what's your plan for so-and-so? Guess what? Even if I didn't have a plan, guess who instantly has a plan, right? It's a trick, right? But it's a beautiful trick in that, like, most of the time, guys who look clueless, we do have a plan. It's different than your plan, and it might be a terrible plan, but it's not like we're intentionally not having a plan, right? And so if you can come with, like, assuming positive intent, assuming we're capable, we spend all day at work making deals and whatever, but we get home and we're idiots. Do you see what I'm saying? So, like, if you treat us like, if we're the CEO at work and we come home and we're the intern, Like, imagine the emotional flip that that takes, right? So if you say, hey, I know you probably thought about this already, or like, hey, as you've been thinking about this, like, fill me in on your plan so I can jump on board or whatever, and we're much more likely to go, you know, I haven't even thought about it. What do you, like, what's your plan? What do you think? Let's engage on this, as opposed to just assuming that we're dumb. So just, like, assume that we're as capable in all areas, you know, and then we'll figure it out as we go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think encouragement is great. I think when your husband is wrong, not avoid the I told you so, make him feel guilty for being wrong. He still needs support, probably even more so when and your support. Another thing that this is Drew talked about the media's portrayal of men. Another thing that kind of has always frustrated me about the media is with sex drives. It's men just want sex because they're shallow and they just want to do, you know, it's not a big deal. And recognize, I think it's frustrating for guys because with the biblical worldview of sex, sex is something that God has given us that is for intimacy, for oneness. He's not just out trying to have a good time. Like, that is for a person who lives, who believes in the Bible, who's accepts God's view of sex. It is, he wants you. He wants intimacy. He wants that oneness. And so I know that there are times when we ask and it's the worst time ever. And I'm sorry for that. We're always going to do that. But at the same time, like, it's not just like, oh, we just got to do this, tick our box. You know, there is a real drive. And I think you can help your husband feel respected by recognizing that it's not just a shallow desire. Hopefully that makes sense. So.
I don't know if I have anything to add on that front. It's a big deal. Most of our conflict comes when either I feel disrespected or Christy feels unloved. And it usually begins a cycle. So trying to just hone in on, if there is conflict, hey, am I feeling unloved right now and why? And being able to communicate that to your husband or vice versa, helping your husband understand, you know, hey, did I disrespect you in some way? I could almost guarantee if your husband seems like he's upset about something that it will go back to him being feeling disrespected about something that happened. This is, I'm more sensitive to this in public than I am in private. And so comments that Christy can make to me privately, if she made in front of friends, I might feel disrespected. So that's something to just remember. We had that conversation early on in our marriage. And then the last thing, like, what was very freeing for us is, you know, trying to raise your kids in a Christian home. Christy and I had to take that paradigm and just kind of throw it off the table and go, I heard so many people with the testimony, I was raised in a Christian home, but, you know what I'm saying? I really have heard that a ton. And for us, we had to reapproach and go, okay, what can we do to counteract that? I think it's trying to raise our kids in a gospel home. And that's just messy. And you talk about things. And it's not about, like, we're going to get this right all the time. And so what I hope you hear today is some of these things can work for you. I've learned today from them. I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty good stuff right there. But what I don't think you need to feel is any condemnation. And I think what the huge thing is with your kids is this thing is a moving target. Just as soon as you think you got this down, the game's going to change for you. And it's like, oh, crap. You know, I have a teenage daughter now. It's so different than anything we've ever handled before. And so just give yourself grace and give your spouse grace to go, they don't know any more than you know about how to handle this situation. So just have fun in the mess. And when you mess it up, just laugh. And remember, we're trying to raise gospel kids, not Christian kids, because that is just very freeing to know that, yes, like we had a pastor this summer say, parenting is really just preparing your kids for counseling. And in some ways, that's very humorous because it's like, yep. Like, we are going to mess it up. We aren't going to do it perfectly. So just enjoy the journey and honor and respect your spouse, and they'll love you better for it.
Amen. Thank you so much. Guys, thank you all for coming and for sharing. I think this has been really sweet. So I'm going to ask Bob if he'll pray for us to close real quick, and then we'll have about 20 minutes, so go grab some Valentine's stuff and make a card and hang out. There's plenty, so if you want to make some for your kids too, and there's tons of snacks, definitely get some more chocolate-covered strawberries. Thank you, Emily, for bringing chocolate-covered strawberries. I'm going to call you out because you're awesome. So, Bob, if you'll pray for us, we'll appreciate that.
God, the best news, I think, is we are here today, as Ben just said, talking about your gospel. At the end of the day, Lord, it's not totally left up to us. We are not the ultimate molders of our children, but ultimately, God, you're the one who does the work. And so, Lord, you've called us to be responsible and to do these things as moms and dads, but Lord, the good news is you're at work. Your grace is at work. And so I pray for us, Lord, as we stumble and fall at times and learn through all and navigate all these issues, that God, that we would find a dependence upon you and an acknowledgement of your grace and recognizing that. And in some sense, we'd be able to sort of, do what you called us to do, but to give ourselves a break. That to not feel like we got to just check off all these boxes and we'll get it right. Because in many ways we won't. But God, you do. And so we're just grateful for that. Your blessing on each family here today. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.